All right. Good evening, everyone. All right. So we're there. Look down in the Bible. Proverbs 23, look down at verse 29. It says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And so here we have, actually, before I get into the sermon, actually, I just want to thank Pastor Mejia for allowing me to have the opportunity to preach. And this is a topic that is weighing near and dear into my heart. I'll talk about it a little bit, but the events that transpired over the weekend just kind of stirred this up for me to maybe preach this sermon. And so, obviously, thank you, Pastor Mia, for giving me the opportunity to preach. And so let's get into the text. And so here we see that the Bible is talking about wine, talking about alcohol. And the Bible the Bible tells us clearly on what wine is and how detrimental it is to your health. And the Bible doesn't glamorize alcohol. The Bible doesn't make it seem as though it's just a cool thing to do. The Bible actually exposes it for what it is, which is sin. And so what does the Bible say it brings? It brings sorrow, it brings contentions, babblings, wounds without cause, redness of eyes, a serpent's bite, poison of a snake. So we see there's corruption and stumbling and bondage when it comes to alcohol, when it comes to wine. And obviously there's two wines in the Bible, and I'm not going to develop the topic, the point here, but there's the fermented wine and there's non-fermented wine. And when the Bible talks about the positive mentions of wine, it's referring to juice. And when the Bible's talking about the negative mentions of wine, it's talking about an alcoholic beverage. And so we see that the world dresses up alcohol. The world bottles it up, it brands it, it sells it like it's some kind of blessing. It's a great thing that we all have, that we can consume. But what is it? The Bible says that it's sin. The Bible says that it's shame. The Bible says that it's slavery. And this passage paints the fact that drunkards or drinking is a sin, paints the fact that drinking is not something that God has permitted from the beginning to the end. It looks good in the cup, but when it leaves you, it bites you like a snake. Bread is deceit. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. I feel like I'm getting a little bit of echo. Is there, Brother Hernandez, a way you can just turn it down a little bit? Thank you. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. What does it do? What does alcohol do? Alcohol promises fun. Alcohol, the reality of what alcohol actually gives you is destruction. It says, come on, just one more. But it ends in bondage. It ends in being beaten. It ends with being bloodied, crying out, I will seek it yet again. I will seek it yet again. The Bible teaches that alcohol is not harmless. And don't tell me it's cultural. Don't tell me that Jesus turned water into booze and he was just getting all these people at this party drunk. Don't tell me that, because ultimately the Bible says that Jesus wouldn't do that. The Bible says that Jesus follows the law of God. The Bible says that Jesus obviously lived a perfect life. Why would he get people drunk? God's word is settled in heaven. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, I'm sorry if you need to crack a can of beer to enjoy yourself. I'm sorry if that's what you need to do to feel like you're alive. And obviously, I'm not talking to you guys. It's just, this is the world's perspective. That they have, for them to enjoy themselves, they have to drink alcohol. For them to enjoy their miserable lives, ultimately, what do they do? They think that they find pleasure in the bottom of a bottle. The Bible says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. and my portion forever, Psalm 73. And this is why tonight I'm going to rip off the mask on this so-called social drink and show and express exactly what the Bible says. What the Bible says it alcohol is. This is not a blessing. From Genesis to Revelation, we see a crystal clear picture that alcohol is a deceiver. It's a destroyer. It's a corrupter of men's lives. It's a corrupter of souls. Tonight, the sermon title is The Wickedness of Alcohol. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. This brings me to my first point. My first point, why is the wickedness of alcohol? Why is alcohol wicked? The reason why alcohol is wicked is because alcohol deceives. Alcohol deceives. Look down at verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What does wine do? What does alcohol do? The Bible says that it mocks you. Ha! Look at you! Puking at night. As you're drinking alcohol, as you find yourself in this position, you end up seeing that it's not all what it cracked up to be. It deceives you. It laughs at your ruin. Strong drink is raging. It stirs up tempers, arguments, violence. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we see the end result of alcohol is death. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 23. And as you're turning there, alcohol always looks appealing at first. The shine in the glass, the laughter at the bar, hanging out with your friends. You see the people with the six packs and the flat stomachs, and they're just enjoying life at the beach, and they're just drinking alcohol, and they're just living it up. And there's nothing wrong that happens with them, you know. But that is not the reality of alcohol. Look down at verse 31. It says, "Look not thou upon wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when he moveth himself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." So what we see here is that the Bible actually makes it clear that sometimes it looks kind of glamorous. And James chapter 1 verse 14 and 15, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Reiterating the fact that at the end of the day, what does alcohol bring? It brings death. And so this verse right here in Proverbs where it says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red." What is God saying? He's saying, don't look at it, right? Don't stare at it. Don't think about it. What happened to Eve? She looked at it and she thought it was good. Don't look at it. God knows how deceptive alcohol can be. Looks red and sparkling, but at the bottom is the bite of a snake. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. As you're turning there, alcohol doesn't just deceive the wicked. Obviously, it could deceive the righteous, right? Those that are saved, those that put their trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why we know this is because this is one of the reasons why someone can get kicked out of church. If you're being a drunkard, if you can't give it up, if you just have to have another bottle, you have to have another drink. Hey, you know what? If you don't want to get it right, then you're going to get kicked out. That's what the Bible says. Alcohol doesn't just deceive the righteous. Excuse me. It doesn't just deceive the wicked. It also deceives the righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 10 verse 12, it says, "Wherefore let him thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall." Look down at verse 21, excuse me, 20. "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent." Noah, the friend of God, the preacher of righteousness, what happened? He was mocked by wine. Noah was deceived by wine. Why? Because he thought he was good. I'm the friend of God. You know, I don't know if he knew that or not, right? But I'm the friend of God. You know, I'm a preacher of righteousness. You know, but what happened? He was stripped. He was stripped of his dignity. And this is that's the result of wine. What is the application here? Wine mocks today. And there's many various areas how we can see in the movies, you know, it all works out in the end. Everything is good for the person who gets drunk. They, you know, they're able to drink and they're able to do it in moderation. But here's the thing. The reality is that the Bible actually makes it clear that this destroys someone's life if left unfettered. What is the other ways that wine mocks, right? Wine mocks on the highways, where there's drivers out there that kill innocent people. There's drivers that kill innocent people just serving God, living their lives, and there's some idiot that wants to come out and drink alcohol, get drunk, and kill a man of God. And that's the reason, this is the whole purpose of the sermon, just to say this. I hate wine. I hate alcohol for that exact reason. There's one less soul winner out there because somebody died. Brother Kevin from Faithful Word Baptist Church, Faithful Word Baptist Church was killed on Saturday night. That man who was drinking wine mocked him. Drinking alcohol, it mocked him. Oh, you don't worry, you're not going to take anybody's life. It mocked him. Oh, you're fine to drive, don't worry about it. Another area where wine also mocks is on college campuses. We have young people that go to school, they go to college, and you know, they're just trying to get an education, and they end up putting themselves in a situation that makes them vulnerable. And more specifically, ladies, obviously it's getting kind of weird, so even dudes, you know, it happens to dudes too, you know. But there's 97,000 sexual assaults happen annually within the realm of alcohol. And ladies, it's like, yeah, this is the ad that they put on social media for going to college. Yeah, come to college and you'll get raped. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You got to protect yourself and understand that wine is not your friend. I don't care if your friends tell you this is cool, because this isn't cool. You know what's cool? This is cool. Amen. This right here is cool. It's a King James Version Bible. Just had to fill that in there. Not the NIV or the STD or the HIV or the NIT or the MLE or whatever, the SUV. You got to protect yourselves because this isn't safe. Alcohol deceives, but it doesn't just stop there. Once it deceives, it begins to destroy. It destroys someone's life. That brings me to my second point. Alcohol destroys. Turn your Bibles to go back to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. And while you're turning there, you know, the Bible doesn't flatter alcohol. It lays out the damage plain as day. It lays out, you can see exactly the result. Let's just say there are no verses in the Bible that spoke negative. Proverbs 23 didn't exist. Proverbs 20 didn't exist. Let's just look at the first example in the Bible. I mean, Noah got drunk and his son took advantage of him. Wow, that's great. Look down to verse 29. It's plain as day what the Bible says about alcohol. And I'm tired of Christians. Sorry. I'm tired of Christians justifying it. I'm tired of Christians saying, oh, it's okay, just a little bit here and there. You in moderation, it's okay. I'm tired of it. Look down at verse 29. Says, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Wow, you know, I missed that part in the Budweiser ad. Right? Did you guys catch that in the ad? The woe and the sorrow and the contentions and the babblings and the wounds without cause. Man, I didn't see that in the Budweiser ad. Why? Because they're selling you a bill of goods, and it's worthless. All they want is your money. That's the reason why they're not going to show you the reality of it. They're not going to sit here and tell you, hey, it's going to destroy your life, it's going to destroy your marriage, it's going to destroy your everything that you love, if you allow it to do that. Who hath woe, sorrow, fighting, shameful speech, needless wounds? What do we see? The Bible doesn't build. Excuse me. Alcohol doesn't build. The Bible builds. Alcohol doesn't build, it breaks someone's life down, breaks it apart. Turn your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Sin always has multiple ways to attack us. Whenever we're in the depth of sin, when it comes to alcohol or whatever the various sin is, it can attack our heart, it can attack our mind, attack our conscience, our will. And that's exactly what alcohol goes after too. Look down to verse 11. It says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. What does it do? It robs us of our discernment. It robs us of our discernment. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7, it says, the priests and the prophets err through wine. Even spiritual leaders fall into ruin because of alcohol. And there's pastors out there that have been deceived by the world, and they've adopted the principles that the world has, and they're saying like, oh, it's okay in moderation, a little wine for thy stomach's sake, Jesus turned water into wine, and they're just destroying their congregation by telling them that they can do that. Because what the pastor does maybe in moderation, his congregants are going to do in excess. It robs us of our discernment. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Oh, keep a place in Proverbs if you're there, just because we're going to keep going back there. Genesis chapter 19. You know, after Lot escaped Sodom, you know, what we see here is that alcohol ended up destroying his family. Alcohol ended up destroying his family. Look down to verse 32. It says, come, this is his daughter's talking here. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Wow, that's so loving. That's so loving. Let's keep reading. It says, and they made their father drink wine that night, and he started serving God. Oh, that's not there? And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay nor when she arose. This happens with both daughters. Lot was deceived into drunkenness. What happened? It destroyed his family. He ended up having two children, Moab and Ammon, who came out that night, who came out those nights. And who are those people when we look in the Bible? Those are some of the enemies that continually attack the children of Israel. He destroyed the family. What does wine do? What does alcohol do? It destroys the family. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 25. Proverbs 23, verse 21, it says, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. And we see that the passage that we're going to go to is talking about Nabal and just how alcohol affected him. Look down at verse 36. It says, and Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry with him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing, more or less, until the morning light. And it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. The Bible says that Nabal drank like a king. He drank alcohol like a king, but what happened? He died like a fool. Nabal died like a fool because of this right here. Obviously, other reasons as well, but this was one of the reasons why he died like a fool. Alcohol destroys homes. Alcohol destroys families. Alcohol destroys bodies. Alcohol destroys finances. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the wickedness of alcohol. And we see that alcohol deceives. Alcohol destroys. But then it does something else. It takes over. It dominates someone's life. Which brings me to my third point. Alcohol dominates. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 23. So what we see is that sin always enslaves. In John chapter 8, verse 34, it says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. What we see here is that alcohol isn't our companion. Alcohol isn't our friend. Alcohol isn't something that we should just buddy up with alcohol. What happens with alcohol when you allow it to consume your life? Alcohol becomes your master. You tell me what to do. You tell me what to do. How should I live my life? I know I'm a Christian. I know I read the Bible, but how should I live my life? Because I love this right here. Look down to verse 34. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That doesn't sound like liberty. That doesn't sound like fun. That doesn't sound like the ads. That doesn't sound like the movies. That doesn't sound like, oh man, look, this guy, they're just getting, look, hey, when you're in college in your young days and you just go out and you just have a good time and you just, you know, you just do you and you live your life and you be a good person and yeah, you can get drunk, but here, but hey, it doesn't really matter. What that is bondage. What that is domination. It's chains. And what do we see the drunkard say? The drunkard admit that it hurts. I mean, don't when you talk to people who are alcoholics, don't they all say, yeah, it's bad for you, but I just can't give it up. The drunkard admits that it hurts, but what does he do the next day? Oh, I gotta go on and pop the... Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What are you going to serve? What are you going to yield yourself to? You yield yourself to the Bible? You yield yourself to the Word of God? Or are you going to yield yourself to the alcohol? Yielding yourself to alcohol, what does that result in? Domination. This is my master. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, it says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I would not be brought under the power of any. What is Paul saying? Nothing's going to bring me under. Nothing's going to rule me, right? I'm not going to let alcohol rule me. I'm not going to let lust rule me. And so we need to make sure that, hey, this is not something that we need to rule our lives, because this utterly would destroy us. And there's Christians out there that say, hey, it's okay. I came from a church that taught that. Cody, you did too. No, I'm joking. I was just joking. But I came from a church. I went to a John MacArthur light church. I went to a church called Faith Bible Church. And it was very conservative, but they were fine on drinking alcohol. And they were just like, oh, in moderation, you know. But whenever we go to people's houses, like, they don't want to let people go in the fridge. Why? Like, I used to house it for this family. They're just like, oh, just don't look in the back of the fridge. You know what I mean? And it's just like, what's back there? You know, I didn't look. I obviously, I listened. A little bit. No, I'm joking. Don't be ruled. Don't be ruled by alcohol. And young people, this can really affect your life. This can literally change your life forever. Right? I mean, this, make drinking alcohol, get it, letting this take over your life, this can literally destroy your life. Don't allow alcohol to rule someone, to rule over your life. Alcohol rules men and nations. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What does pride do? He blinds a man. Drinking alcohol, you're blinded. You can't see. You can't think straight. Just drinking alcohol is not like you're more godly when you drink this. It's not like when you drink this, it's just like, man, I just really feel like reading my Bible. I just want to memorize scripture. I just want to pray unto the Lord. I mean, they babble, but it's not to the Lord. Haughty spirit always sets the stage for an inevitable fall. Look down at verse 1 in Daniel 5. It says, Belshazzar the king made a feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and I'm going to skip to 30. It says, in that night, after what was written there, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldees, slain. What happened at this event? Wine ruled the feast. Just talk about all the he was drinking, and he brought people. He's like, bring the gold, the cups. And what did that end up resulting in? Worshipping other gods, various things. Alcohol dominated Belshazzar's life. And obviously, I'm not saying that he was saved. I'm just saying, like, we just see the destruction of alcohol. We see the destruction of wine. And what did he lose? He lost his life, lost his kingdom. We're talking about the wickedness of alcohol. We see that alcohol deceives. Alcohol destroys. Alcohol dominates. You know, and obviously, this is my last point here, but my last point is kind of like, you know, when you give the bad news in the gospel, and you're like, okay, you're a sinner, you deserve to go to hell, but here's the good news. Although alcohol deceives, and it destroys, and it dominates, we get deliverance with Christ. We get deliverance in Christ. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says that God never leaves us in despair. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, says the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look down at verse 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Realize what it says. It lists all these bad sins, but it says, and such were some of you. And so obviously there's people out there that do struggle with drinking alcohol. And obviously I can't just sit here and say, oh, well, it's easy for me to not drink alcohol. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy for you. But the Bible says, and such were some of you. What does that mean? Past tense. And such were some of you. But what we see is that Jesus saves, that he washes, he sanctifies, he justifies. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. So the grips, the deception that you get from alcohol, the Bible says Jesus can set you free. And obviously there's ways to do it. I'm not trying to sit here and make it seem like by being a Christian, all your sins are just going to go away. You believe on the Lord and you're good to go. Obviously there's ways to cut alcohol, stop alcohol outside of the Bible. But how much better is it when you have the Lord on your side? You know, it's 12-step program. Yeah, they could do it. What is it? Alcohol. Yeah, I knew you knew that. No, I'm joking. you said alcohol is anonymous. That's what it is. AA. Yeah. And that's a program that helps people overcome their addiction. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so what we see is that although alcohol is wicked, although alcohol is bad, you can overcome alcohol with who? Jesus. Right? So you can overcome alcohol with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is where the power is. Jesus is where the strength is. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Only Jesus can make us free indeed. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So what do we see? We see grace not only saves us, but it continues to instruct us, right? It It doesn't just mean that at the moment we're saved, obviously we just don't have any more sins, right? We're sinless perfection, where it's just you believe on Jesus and that's it. Obviously, salvation is a sanctification is a process, and so we have to continually work day by day, and we have to continually fight the battle, fight the good fight. And so we see that because of Jesus, God gives us the power to say no to sin, right? And it's our choice. Are you going to drink the bottle? Are you going to pick it up? Or are you going to put it down? He's teaching us. The Bible says he's teaching us. He's guiding us. He gave us a spirit. Why? So that we can obviously serve him and so that we can get sin out of our life to be perfect as our Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. And we get this victory, obviously, through Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, what do we see? Alcohol deceives. Oh, you don't know that. Ask Noah. Right? Alcohol destroys lives. No, you don't know that. That's not true. It didn't destroy my mom's life. Ask Lot. It dominates. Ask Belshazzar. All right, he's in hell. I actually don't really know if he's actually in hell or not. I'm pretty sure he is. But Christ delivers, and we can ask the Corinthians for that. And the Bible says, and such were some of you. And so alcohol never build a marriage, right? We don't ever see, you know, by you drinking this right here, this is going to cause you to have a really good marriage. This is going to cause you to have great children. This is going to cause you to live just a godly lifestyle. And we have Christians today, we have people today, excusing alcohol, defending alcohol. I mean, Pastor Mio went with uninspiring philosophies for, you know, so many videos or whatever, where he's like, oh, it's like saying that it is okay to drink alcohol as he's drinking alcohol. Not Pastor Mio. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So where alcohol deceives, Jesus builds up. Where alcohol destroys, Jesus creates. Where alcohol dominates, Jesus brings liberty. Last verse. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What does alcohol do? It steals. It kills, it destroys. And obviously this is in the context of obviously salvation, and there's only one way through Jesus Christ and you can't go through another door. But I'm just making a principle here, is that what we do see is alcohol does steal from you. Alcohol does kill. Alcohol does destroy lives. But it says, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that's the difference. Alcohol leaves you empty, Jesus leaves you full. Alcohol leaves you broken, and Jesus makes you whole. Alcohol leaves you bound, and Jesus sets you free. Let's bow our heads in the word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for just giving us another day. And Lord, I just pray for I pray for the sermon. I pray that people were able to get the main points. And Lord, I just pray that I was able to state those things that were on my heart. And Lord, I just pray for Miss Lola and her daughter, and just Lord, I just pray that that you're able to work in their hearts. And we love you, Lord, and we just pray that Christians can just wake up and just kind of see the fact that the wickedness of alcohol, stop defending alcohol, stop defending people who want to get drunk, and understand what the Bible actually says, because it's clear as day. It's, you can see it easily if you just read the Bible and you have spiritual eyes to see. Lord, we pray this in heavenly name. Amen.